violate your own judgments all the time. I do. Especially when I'm driving, it's pretty ugly. I'm talking about my wife's driving now, she does it.
That's why she wants.
It's pretty ugly, right? But we violate the inherent standard we already know that we have. And that inherent standard actually is part of the image of God we've been given that. So sin is basically saying, hey, I know better. I want to do my own thing. Or I'm actually doing what I know is wrong, but hey, I'm better than what? You know, I'm better at judgment. So we need a Savior because of that. And that's where you look at the end of the story. In fact, Andrew and I were looking at the death of Jesus, depicting the resurrection. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he's crying out, at that point, he actually carries the weight of our guilt and our sin. And at the end of that time, he cries out, it is finished. So if you ask Jack really nicely, here's Jack.
Back here.
Here, okay. He'll roll up his sleeve, and what's your tattoo say, Jack?
Tetelestai.
Tetelestai means it is finished. Okay. And that's a Roman term. So if you committed a crime in the Roman Empire, you would have a time that you had to spend in jail. And your crime was written on a scroll, put on the cell door. And when you finish serving your time, across that scroll is written Tetelestai, it's paid up in full. And you can carry that scroll around, and someone would say, hey, Emily, what are you doing out on the street? Like, you're supposed to be in jail, you stole, you know, like UCLA basketball players. You need to serve some time, right? So, and you would say, look, I've already served my time, it's paid up in full. So tell us that. So when Jesus was on the cross and he said, it is finished, and it's paid up in full, our payment is done. We don't have to pay anymore. So first of all, a Christian is someone who sees Jesus as a Savior. But secondly, it's also that we see Jesus as our Lord. And again, in Romans, what we're looking at, it says that we become united with him, the likeness of his death and the likeness of his resurrection. So this baptism that Romans are talking about is actually not the physical baptism that we're going to do so much. It's simply identifying with Jesus. It means to be identified with. It means to follow Jesus with your whole heart and follow his teachings. So then what is the baptism we're going to do downstairs and get wet twice in the pool and out, right? It is actually kind of a physical manifestation of an inward spiritual reality. So for Lauren and for Andy, he's saying basically, yes, I acknowledge that Jesus is my Savior and Lord. I'm not perfect. I'm not morally superior, but I want to follow Jesus with my whole heart. So it's simply acknowledging that this is the person who really is the God of my life. I'm not the God of my own life. So as you hear their stories tonight, as we're kind of down there in the dunking pool on the short story, this is kind of what baptism is all about. So thank you.
Thanks, Brooke. Okay, next we have Andrew, and he's going to share his story just before he gets baptized. Welcome, Andrew.
So, I'm Andrew. Those of you who don't know me, I'm on the swim team. I'm a junior. And I just wanted to take a minute to talk about kind of why I'm here, where I'm from, where I'm going, and what being baptized really means to me. I grew up Christian household. I had really supportive parents. Another way to put that is I had really, really strict parents. So, they dragged me to church. They pressured me to do well in swimming and academics and all those things, which is great. I'm really thankful for that. And I always loved going to church growing up, but if I'm being totally honest, like, I didn't really get it until, 3 or 4 years ago. And I was at a point in my life, kind of right before college and at the end of high school where, I know we all have this, but the desire for me, I wanted to be loved by, people, by my parents. And I felt like I was only really getting that from doing well in school and doing well, swimming wise. And so just a short story, I was graduated high school summer right after, before college. My parents had a little graduation party, basically like a barbecue where relatives come over and celebrate, graduating high school. So I was pumped because that meant, oh, my grandparents are coming and they'll write me like a check for $50 because I graduated high school or something. But my grandma came up to me and she gave me my great-grandmother's Bible. And it's like 100 years old. Something that I really wasn't expecting, but something that really hit close to home for me. And for me, I think that was kind of a point in my life kind of that started the wheels turning in terms of becoming a Christian. Time went on. I came to Cal. Obviously, a lot of my self-worth was coming from you know, trying to get a 4.0 and trying to swim fast. And, you know, I came to Calus, obviously I wasn't getting a 4.0, but, you know, no matter how hard times got, I always still had that Bible with me, you know, in my dorm, in my apartment. And it really came to dawn on me that the love that I was craving from a lot of other things in my life ultimately was always there, but coming from God. So, so I started coming to AIA my freshman year, and then, you know, really loved it, really got connected into the community. And so AIA turned into getting coffee with Brooke and Karen, Bible studies, to now being on the AIA core team, which is great, and I'm super thankful for that. And so for me, I feel like I've come so far as a Christian from, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, not even having a ton of faith in, you know, what's in the good book, to now where I feel like the next step for me is to kind of dedicate my life to Christ publicly for my friends and for myself through getting baptized. And I was baptized when I was, you know, 2 months old, but honestly, it doesn't really mean a whole lot to me if I don't remember and if I didn't choose to do it myself. So yeah, I'm here tonight to get baptized and I'm really excited. And for me, I think that most importantly, it just, I want to be able to look back and say, you know, November 15, 2017, this was a turning point in my life where I'm dedicating myself to something bigger rather than serving my own wants and needs and serving what I want more than, you know, trying to walk with Christ, which is what I'm trying to do. So, yeah, I'm just really excited to do this, and it's something I've been thinking about for a year or two now. You know, I was really inspired when Jack did this 2 years ago, and then when, you know, Val and everyone else got baptized at AIA last year. So, yeah, I just want this to be kind of a time for me to express my love to all of you and to go forward through the rest of my life with Christ. So thanks so much. I want to say thanks to all the guys that came out to support me. I really appreciate it. Brooke and Karen, you guys are amazing. You guys do so much for Cal that, you know, you can't even put into words, and then all you guys for being here. So thank you. Go Bears.
Okay, so now we have Jack, and Jack is Andrew's choice for his affirmation, and he's just going to say a few words about him as a friend.
Oh, he wrote it out.
Oh, yeah. No, I can't do this without having it written out in front of me. Cool. So thank you, everyone, for coming. This is awesome seeing all these new faces here tonight. Just here for Lauren and here for Sally, which has been super cool. Just to see all that support that they have, all that love that everyone feels for them. So tonight I have the privilege on affirming Sally in this sort of amazing night, this amazing trip leading up to this this baptism, which is incredibly exciting because I know what it's like. I did it last year pretty much at this time. So first, I just want to say that I'm extremely humbled I get to speak about Sally. This kid is the most dedicated human being, and I've gotten to get to know him over the past year. Just through Bible studies, hanging out, him being on core, and he's truly an incredible man, and I do not say that lightly. He is incredible. And he has taught me more than he probably knows. You could probably tell by the way he was just talking, he's an incredibly driven individual, and that's kind of what I want to focus on right now. His work ethic is unlike anyone that I know, and I strive to be like that in almost every single aspect of my life. This kid is so unbelievably determined to be successful at everything that he does, and that does not stop at his relationship with Christ. He wants to keep pursuing that and keep striving through that. And while I was searching through verses and trying to pick one, which was incredibly hard, but one that I found that sort of encompasses what I'm trying to describe here was Proverbs 13:4. And it says, "The appetite of the sluggard craves, but has nothing. But the appetite of the diligent is amply satisfied." And you can see that in all of Sally's accomplishments, in and out of the pool, in and out of the classroom. And I think most importantly, touching everyone's hearts. Like, there's so many people here that are here to support you, Sally. And that's truly amazing. And I'm just honored and humbled to be up here, that you chose me to speak in front of these people, which is truly humbling. So I just want to thank you for all of your strength and drive and vulnerability and relentlessness in your pursuit of God, especially over the past semester as we've grown a lot closer. And I just want to say that I'm so unbelievably stoked for you right now. Like, this is awesome. And I'm just excited that I get to be a part of this night with you. So congratulations.
Thanks, Jack. Okay, next we have Warren, and she's going to share her story. And she's a sophomore on the lacrosse team, and she's from Dallas.
Thanks for coming. Like she said, my name is Lauren. I'm a sophomore on the lacrosse team, and I'm going to tell my story. It's a little bit longer, so bear with me. I'm sorry if I drone on, but I'll try not to. So I grew up in a Christian household and was raised in the church, Sunday school, Bible study, Christian camp, all the whole nine yards. I was baptized when I was like 6 weeks old, and so I was really surrounded by faith my entire life, and my parents were really supportive in that. And along with that, though, that was a huge part of my life, but the other side was sports, as many of you can attest to. And basically, from the moment I could walk, I was an athlete, and played every single sport in the book. You name it, I played it, and I loved it. I thrived, and obviously, like, you're going to love it if you're good at it, but... and as I grew older, I became known as like the crazy sports girl, and I lived for it. I loved it. And in middle school, I played every single sport the school had to offer, and I was just living it up on the court and field, whatever it was. I loved it. But unfortunately, I was always that girl getting injured, and the joke was that I had one speed and no brakes. And for that reason, I was always hurt. And the spring of my eighth grade year, like spring break, I went on a skiing trip and I shattered my thumb and I needed surgery to repair the broken bone. And I was devastated. I missed the end of my track season, the beginning of my lacrosse and soccer season, and just heartbroken. 6 weeks was a hard time at that point. And but when I got back, 6 weeks drove on for a very long time. The day I got back, we were playing a game in athletics, and being me, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna win. Gonna come back with a bang. I'm gonna win this. And so we were on the basketball court, and it was me and another girl left, and I was like, you know what, this is it. Full speed, I'm going. And I made a cut, full speed, and I heard a pop, and fell to the ground. And it turns out that at the ripe age of 14, I tore my ACL. And as a young middle school girl, I didn't know how to handle it. And it was right before summer, and I got surgery that summer. And so my teammates weren't really around. I basically was isolated. I was so sad and alone. I fell into a depression, and I didn't eat. I could barely sleep. I pushed my friends and my family away. I felt like my identity as an athlete had been stripped away, and I didn't know who I was anymore. So I went into freshman year with basically broken mental state, and that it continued as I tried to, as I was doing rehab and getting through all that, just it improved, but it lends itself into getting back into sports, and I was insecure about, I wasn't playing the way I should, feeling the way I should back on the field. But that summer, I went on a mission trip, and I reconnected with God. I reestablished my identity, and it helped me get through the rest of my high school years. But fast forward through high school, through the grueling recruiting process that you all know, I decided to stick with lacrosse because I fell in love with it, and that's what brought me here. And I prayed and prayed and prayed for years that God would lead me to where I needed to be, and He led me here. And I was coming into freshman year, I was so excited, I was so ready to go, so happy, and I really felt like God placed me here for a reason. But 4 weeks into my freshman year, I was feeling good. I was gaining confidence on the field and feeling good in my classes, getting pretty good grades, and it's like things are looking up. But September 13th, 2016, during just a normal Tuesday practice, I made another cut at full speed and felt that familiar pop again and fell to the turf. And in that moment, just everything shut out, and it was just me and God. It's like, God, please, I cannot do this again. I really don't think I can. And but it turned out that I tore my ACL, the same knee, again. And so weeks went on, and I decided, I was committed that it wasn't going to be like last time. I wasn't going to fall into that pit of depression. God had a plan in this, and I knew it. I was trusting him and trusting him with that. But as time went on, complications started to arise. So I started to doubt that he was with me at all. I went home to Texas for surgery, but I contracted a small infection, which caused me the most severe pain I've ever been in, and it made me stay home for 2 weeks. And for that reason, I was struggling in my classes. I wasn't getting good grades. I had actually dropped a class, and it just ruined my perfect life's plan that I had all set out. And like in my mind, everything was just crashing down. And I once again just slipped into that depression. But as an athlete, I didn't want to let anyone know. And we all get that. Like, we feel like we have to be strong. We have to put on that face. We can't let our coaches, can't let our teammates know that we're struggling. And but so I put up that facade. I would show up to practice every day happy, positive. I wanted to be that girl. I wanted to show that image of strength, that I was going to get through this, and other people could look at me and say, yeah, she's the girl who pushed through every single day, came to practice with a smile on her face. But in reality, I was struggling to get up every single morning. And I just felt so isolated and alone. I didn't feel like I was part of the team anymore. And every night I would lay in bed. I didn't have a roommate, so that also didn't help with the loneliness. But I would lay in bed and just stare at the ceiling, and tears streaming down my face, and literally cry out to God and say, God, where are you? I cannot feel you. But I never heard anything. And I was mad at him for not answering my prayers the way I wanted him to. But deep down, I knew that he was listening. So I just kept praying. But as time went on, I slipped deeper and deeper, and to the point where in December, my depression got so bad that I resorted to self-harm. I began cutting myself as a toxic coping mechanism to somehow gain control of my pain and my frustration through the whole situation. And I knew it was bad, and I did it anyway, because it was just a toxic coping thing that makes no sense even now. But that's where I was. And I in January, I hit rock bottom. I could not go any lower. But it was there that God spoke to me, and finally, it felt like, and I realized that he had actually answered my prayers before I had even prayed them. At the beginning of the year, he placed two people in particular into my life that had walked with me along the whole situation, and were there to support me and saw through the facade and the wall I put up of happiness and joy, and they saw every emotion, and they helped pull me out of that place, and with them and with God. And those two people are actually here tonight, so thank you. And so with their help, I slowly recovered, and I got the help that I needed. But throughout a lot of the time, I heard people say to me, oh, God gives the toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. And like at the time, that's what I needed to hear. That felt good. I was like, yeah, I can do this. Like, I'm in control. Like, I can handle this by myself. I don't need anyone to help me. Like, this is good. Like, I got it. But now that I look back at it, that phrase, the theory in itself, like, God gives his toughest battles to his strongest warriors, that it doesn't make sense at all, because that insinuates that he just kind of hands it over and says, here's the trouble, you do it yourself, like, you got it. Like, I'll be here watching, but you got it. But in reality, that's not true at all. And because without God, we can't do anything. And that's what I realized throughout this whole situation. Like, I was in such a low place that without him to carry me, I wouldn't have been able to get out of that. And there's a verse, 1 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he says to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses, because it is then that Christ's power will rest upon me. And I think that really hit me hard, because I admitted that it's okay to be weak. It's okay to not be able to carry yourself, because God can. And God is in control of all of that. And so I just gave that up to him. And so it has been a year now since my injury, well, over a year. And I am so thankful for where I am now, and like how far that God has taken me. And for the people who have walked alongside me and know the pains that I had and the times that I cried on their shoulders. But and now I'm back to playing, which is amazing. And but those feelings of insecurity and not enoughness, I guess, have arisen again, because I had such high expectations coming back. I was like, oh, I'm going to make a huge impact on the team. I'm going to do awesome. I'm going to get back to exactly where I was when I got injured. And that's just not the case. And that's and that kind of hit me hard as I'm coming back. But there was a verse that actually I came across a few weeks ago that I'd known before, but I never really understood the implications that it had in my life. And the verse is Psalms 23:1, and it says simply, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And I think its simplicity is beautiful. And in my time of insecurity and feeling like I was not enough in all facets of my life and my questioning my identity, he laid this on my heart and said, you are enough. And I've had those three words, I lack nothing, engraved on a bracelet on my wrist that I've been wearing for the past year, but I never really took the time to understand what it really meant in my life. And so now every time I look down at my wrist and see those words, I'm reminded of my image in God's eyes, that I'm not Lauren Hickman, the athlete, the lacrosse player, or Lauren Hickman, the student, or Lauren, the girl who tore ACL 4 weeks into her freshman year. My self-worth and my identity are not found in whether I score 50 goals or if I make a 4.0 or if I even spend 1 second on the field in a game. I am who he says I am, and he says that I'm beloved, and he says that I'm enough and that I lack nothing. And tonight I'm choosing to get baptized because as I said earlier, I was baptized when I was really young, and as Andrew said, like I don't remember it, so I don't really see the point in it. So this time, I think baptism is such a beautiful symbol for renewing, and so that's what I'm choosing to do tonight. I'm choosing to wash that free, the past year, the past valley that I was in, and it's almost like a renewal of vows to my walk with Christ. And so thank you.
Thanks, Lauren. Now we're going to have Ella come up to give Lauren's affirmation. So give it up for Ella.
I should warn you. well, I'm a really horrible public speaker, so if I start shaking, that's a normal thing, and you just cut it off. Okay. So today I have the honor of speaking on Lauren's behalf for her baptism. And as she gives her testimony and shares with us this gift of sharing her faith and her love of God. So I remember the first time I met Lauren, it was at the lacrosse camp before our freshman year. It was July 27th, and I just remember being struck by the sense of peace that she has. So when everyone comes in as a freshman, everyone's kind of nervous, they want to prove themselves, they want to say, hey, I'm cool, be my friend. And Lauren was not that. She was confident, but she was calm. She had this sense of peace that just made you be in awe and say, who is that girl? It was just beautiful. And I was lucky enough to share this past year and a half with her. I was lucky enough to be her roommate in the spring. And I was lucky enough to share the good times and the hard times with her. And so there have been so many smiles and so much laughter, a lot of tears, at least like 4 knee braces, dozens of pints of ice cream, and possibly a lifetime supply of ibuprofen. Lauren is one of the strongest people I know, and I know that much of this strength is rooted in her faith. She has the biggest heart for God, and I am so lucky to have been able to see this love grow in the most desperate of circumstances in this year alone. And the two verses that really speak to me with Lauren, the first being 2 Chronicles 15:7, and it says, as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. And Lauren has gone through so much hardship and so much pain, but she keeps going. And it's hard, and I can't physically imagine what you've gone through because I know I couldn't do it. And then it's funny because she brought up the same exact verse, but in Psalms 23, I lack nothing. She has it on her wrist, and she's written it on both of her sticks. And so when my sticks broke in the summer, I'm like, girl, I need your stick. I don't have one. And I still play with it to this day. And so every morning when I'm walking out to practice, I see I lack nothing written on my head. And that's something that has just kept me going and something that I'm so lucky to have. Lauren, I'm so proud of you today. I know that your testimony has been a really long time in the making, and I've seen you written it. I'm so excited that you finally got to share it, and I'm so happy for you today. I love you.
Thanks, Ella. So now we're going to have a special video from Lauren's sister that she made for her.
Not right in front of me right now, because then I definitely would. I already cried when Brooke asked me to do this, so needless to say, I'm so incredibly proud of Lauren and the big steps that she's taking today. I've had the absolute pleasure of knowing Lauren since day one, and of walking through life alongside of her and getting to watch her grow physically, mentally, and especially spiritually. There are so many things that I could say about Lauren. She is kind, she is joyful, she is bright, she is thoughtful. But there are two main things that I wanted to highlight about her and how I see the image of God reflected through her. First, Lauren is fiercely loyal. She is such a true and faithful friend, and she loves others so well. I have seen her make sacrifices for people, to go out of her way for others and to help them. I've seen her stand firmly by a friend's side when they need someone the most. I have seen her seek people out and never give up on their friendships. Just as our faithful Heavenly Father, our Good Shepherd, would leave the 99 other beloved children just to seek out and until he finds the one that's been lost. And I love that image of our God and the immense love that he has for us. And I think it's really cool to see how that is reflected in how Lauren loves other people. Secondly, if you know Lauren, you know that she is one of the most competitive people around, and that has always come to her advantage on the sports field, but it is so much more than simply winning games or beating the other team. It stems from her God-given steadfast determination. She has this ability to forge forth in the face of opposition and come out on the other side stronger and wiser, to never give up even when it seems like it is hard to trust the Lord. And that's been so evident in this past year, and that's because this past year has been pretty rough for Lauren, but it's been so cool to see how much she's grown through God sticking her through the fire and really molding and refining her like gold. So, Lauren, I wanted to leave you with this verse and encouragement from 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes exercises self-control in all things. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
Okay, so now we're gonna go down and do the baptisms up that way. Yeah, okay.